tuning in to Podcast Viewfinder.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's Podcast Viewfinder. We look at the world around you, the news, movies, video games, music, TV shows, social media, and commercials to see what worldview they promote. Everything pushes a worldview, and we want to help you find your view.
Mowgli is a member of our pack.
Mowgli? They've given it a name. When was it we come to adopt man to this jungle?
He's just a cub.
Does my face not remind you of what grown man can do? Hey everybody, I'm Chris.
And I'm James.
And I'm Wes.
Welcome to Podcast Viewfinder episode 55.
Backwards, that's 55.
It's a palindrome.
I honestly didn't think you guys would make it this long.
I know, thanks,
Wow.
Wes.
Now you're on. You finally got on the show. It's only taken us 55 episodes.
Wes is our tech...
Long Google document.
He's our tech guy at the show.
Are you really going? He's going
And Wes
everything.
Is on our Google document. Your name isn't showing up. It shows you as Anonymous Monkey. So, if anybody's ever on Google Docs, sometimes, like, it'll show up as anonymous in, like, animals. And I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know.
It's funny.
Anonymous
That's
Kraken.
I'll take anonymous.
I'd rather be anonymous and be a Kraken.
Wes, introduce yourself real quick. Wes is on staff at our church. And what do you do? You're the tech.
I'm the tech guy. So, I oversee lighting, video, stage design, that kind of stuff.
And if you go to BethelEVV.com on Sunday mornings and watch the live stream, Wes is responsible for making that happen.
Yep.
So if it doesn't happen, then you hear about it on our Monday meetings.
You know it's my fault.
Where you get in trouble.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, hey, Wes, thanks for being on the show today.
Absolutely.
You like movies.
I do.
And worldview. This podcast is about worldview, if you've ever listened to it. And so we talk about current events, we talk about movies, we talk about stuff going on in the world. But, James, I just started watching a show recently. Two of them. I started watching two shows. Cooking shows. I'm into cooking shows now. Where did I get the time?
Do you cook now?
When I lay in bed. No, I want to. but I started watching Beat Bobby Flay.
Yeah.
I like that show. So it's
Is that like an Iron Chef, but it's just Bobby Flay?
It's Bobby Flay, but it's like kind of these lower end. Not lower end. Sorry.
Lower end.
Like lower end as in like they're chefs at a restaurant. But it's not like these people that are on all these
so
cooking
shows.
It's not
a four shows. Star. It's like a one star.
It's like, not, no,
there's some
people
Gordon Ramsay
from McDonald's.
this is a fry cook at McDonald's.
All right. Dude, that would be awesome. I'd watch that. Fry cook off.
Yeah,
whatever. So anyway, so,
wow.
So on the show, they like,
I'm gonna do it,
they compete against Bobby Flay to see who's, so they start off, there's two chefs and they have to, he gives them an ingredient to make a dish. It is like, okay. You have to use cauliflower, and it has to be the feature of this dish. And so they have to come up with this dish, and then the two judges say, okay, yours was better, so you get to face against Bobby Flay. And they say, my signature dish is, he's done hamburgers, he's done mac and cheese, meatloaf.
Oh, they do their signature dish?
They do their signature dish, and he doesn't know what it is until they say,
go.
Here's a dish, and they say, go.
Wow.
And so he has to come up with something. Dude, that guy is so creative. I love Bobby Flay.
What does he look like?
Like this.
I don't know. What's his hair color?
It's like short cropped. He's like known for grill. Like he has like eight
is
hamburger restaurants. Yeah, blondish.
Spiky.
He's like a basic white dude.
But
that
doesn't just help me out.
He's
at
just
all.
Like the most generic looking white guy.
Okay, well thanks.
Yeah,
can you show me a picture? Look it up.
Yeah, there. Bobby Flay right there. There he is.
Yep, never seen him before.
For all you podcast listeners, he's got curly hair.
If you're generic looking, you can still go far in life.
See, I start, because I have his grill book. He's really good. His grill stuff is good.
Why don't you grill me something?
He's got such a huge, like, product line. Like, how do you not know who Bobby Flay is?
I don't, why would I? Like, you're not explaining to me,
like,
why should I?
Walk down an aisle in a store that has anything to do with cooking, you'll see Bobby Flay.
He has, like, tons of grill stuff. So, but yeah, so the idea of the show is that he's the best and he can do whatever. And he pretty much, I think he's only lost twice in like the eight episodes I've watched.
Wow.
So
now wait, twice in eight episodes?
Mm.
That's a 25% chance of losing right there. Those odds aren't like super great.
Yeah, but okay. So tell me, you're telling me that you could do like, somebody's like, here's what I'm the best at. I've been making this dish for years. I'm going to make this dish. You got to make up something right now.
Yeah.
And you can be better.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm paying the judges, sure. That's easy.
I don't know. Other shows I don't know. Then the other one I started watching was Cutthroat Kitchen. Have you guys seen that?
Have not.
It's, there's four chefs on each episode, and they, like, have they go and get stuff from the store, like their ingredients. They have 60 seconds, and they run in and like grab stuff out of the pantry.
60 seconds?
Yeah, it's crazy, because one guy on the first episode...
punched a guy.
No, like he had one second, and he was running out, and the guy shut the door, and he like runs into the door and drops a bunch of his stuff, and the guy goes, oh, you're locked in, you're on that side, and I'm on this side. Well, I'll take this, and he pulls out one of the ingredients. It was like sriracha, and they had to make... I forget what they were making. But then... So then they have an auction. So they give each person $25,000, and whatever you have left at the end, like if you're the winner, that's your prize money. So you're like, okay, do I want to auction? But so the auction will oxygen. The oxygen is not going to my brain. No, the auction. So they'll be like, okay, you can buy this thing of tinfoil, and you can give it to one of the other competitors, and they have to replace all their utensils with tinfoil. And so they can't use any, so like, huh. So yeah, so like this lady's like in a fryer with these tin foil tongs. She's like, I can't get anything out of this fryer. And so yeah, stuff like that. One, they were making fish and chips, and the lady, like there was an auction. There was an auction.
Maybe for different facets on
it. For a fryer. Like she could get rid of all his frying stuff, so he couldn't fry anything. So fish and chips is all fried, and so he had to like bake it, and he lost.
Wow!
You're like, oh. So you can buy stuff. So it's pretty funny. Like some of the stuff is pretty creative because he did a mac and cheese, and you can replace all the fine cheeses with like Cheese Whiz and stuff. Oh, but so no. you bid, and you're like trying to make the other person lose like all their ingredients or money or whatever. So it's pretty interesting. What worldview it pushes, I don't know. Well, it pushes, like, I'm the best. Like, I can beat anybody. Because everybody on there is, like, so mean to each other. I'm like, just be nice. Like this is supposed to be fun. But they're like, oh, I'm going to kill this guy.
That's why it's cutthroat.
Yeah, I know. It's called Cutthroat Kitchen.
Foil tongs.
I like Chopped. I'm a Chopped person.
I haven't seen Chopped.
What?
I know. It's on. I've got it on Netflix.
Oh, you can be watching it. My family watches it. They love it.
So
my dad likes to watch Hell's Kitchen.
I haven't seen that one either.
Is that
that's where they go into Daredevil? Like
it's Gordon Ramsay just yelling at people the whole time. You think
that's every show that he has?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Gordon Ramsay. Okay, hey, it's time for one of my favorite segments on the show, Florida Foibles. So we'll get an article from Florida. What's going on there, James?
Yeah,
tell us what we have going on in Florida this week.
Oh, it's great. A Florida woman threatens to hurt a kitten if not given $20.
Dude, I would.
So
I would hurt a kitten for less than that. Just kidding, PETA. PETA,
wow.
Just kidding, PETA.
Oh man.
Wow. Yeah. So this Florida woman's arrested after police said that she told another woman that she would do something bad to her kitten if she didn't pay her $20.
Man, that's...
Wait, to her own kitten?
No.
No.
Yeah, my kitten, no. I guess a lady, her neighbor, lost her kitten. How do you lose a kitten? I don't even know. But this lady, the woman wanting the $20, sends a text and says, hey, I've got your kitten, and I'll do something bad to it unless you give me $20.
Oh, so she found the kitten?
Yeah.
That's a reward money. I can understand that. I wouldn't say...
I'm going to do something bad. I'm going
to
do something
bad to your kitten, but... Okay.
It's a cat ransom.
Yeah.
Is that like kind of like cat burglary?
Yeah.
And then it said another text message from the person said that the kitten would not be returned because it was revenge for a wrongdoing by the owner towards one of her friends. So this girl's like, you have to give me $20. And she's like, never mind. I'm not giving you the kitten. It's revenge.
Oh, man.
Man, somebody's like, that's brutal. That's
diabolical.
Right? I mean, that just reminds me of...
So did the cat go missing initially and then they found it? No. Or did she just like break in like...
Kick it so then later she says she doesn't really know where the kitten is. And she sent the text as a joke because she'd been drinking with friends.
When police intervened in the situation, Kay denied having any knowledge of the kitten and later admitted to sending the text messages while drinking with friends. According to police, Kay said the messages were examples of humor. But she said she had no knowledge of where the kitten was or what had happened to the kitten.
Her exact quote was representatives or examples of humor. this represents humor. It might not really be humor, but it represents it. I like that.
Representative. How about that?
These text messages were representatives of humor. Okay, well, why don't you just bring humor?
I like how, like, just being out and being drinking with friends is, like, perfect justification to do anything.
Yeah.
I was drinking. Well, it's okay, because I was drunk.
Well, yeah, I mean, a few weeks ago, there was, a huge argument between two people over a can of, what, shrimp or something? Or something weird. but the guy, like, had a sword and, like, was... Like, he chopped a door down with a sword of his stepdad, but then he blamed it on low blood sugar. He's like, I had low blood sugar.
Blood sugar.
And so it made me chop a door down.
These things are so unconnected. Like, you can't chop doors down with swords, and you can't...
Oh, no, I had low blood sugar.
Ransom kittens.
Oh, no. I threatened this lady's kitten's life.
she only wanted 20 bucks.
I'm drinking with friends. Right, but okay.
$20 does so, make it funny.
It's like, oh.
20 bucks. Like, come on, you can get a little bit more out of that. But no, so because we talk about worldview, but like the Bud commercials or beer commercials, they always show like people having like great times. Mm-hmm. It doesn't ever show like, hey, alcohol may lead you to drunk texting somebody and threatening a kitten's life. Right, that's the next big.
That'll
Bud
be
commercial.
On Saturday Night Live.
Hey, want to threaten a kitten's life?
Well, they always put the fine print, please drink responsibly, at the bottom of their ads. So
what does that mean, to drink responsibly?
That means don't steal somebody's cat and threaten to kill it for
$20. Found the cat. It said bad things.
We cleared it. Yeah, we cleared
That's
it.
That's what drinking responsibly is.
Yeah, so, I mean, stuff like this is... It's funny, but it's also sad at the same time. He's like, she was out of her mind texting. But you, like, that's the thing about alcohol. You just blame it on, yeah. Oh, yeah, I was drinking. Yeah,
it wasn't my fault.
That's not, as you said, Wes, it's not a justification, yes, but,
yeah. Oh,
but
our... It doesn't count because I was drunk.
Clears my conscience.
Justification or actions. It's a worldview. Yeah. I can do whatever I want as long as I have a reason. I did all the wrong things for the right reasons. It's from Wes' favorite movie, Zootopia.
He thought it was hilarious.
The LPM was too low.
So, laughs per minute.
Yeah, for our... That's text lingo.
So, alright, so... Okay, wait, did you guys watch Saturday Night Live this week?
I did not.
Because there was a...
Negative.
Okay, then we probably... this is just a random thing that's not on our list of things to talk about.
No idea.
So maybe we shouldn't talk about it, but... but they were making fun of the Christian movies, the Pure Flicks.
Oh.
We'll talk about that another day. But it was interesting because it's Saturday Night Live's take on Christian culture, and so they were making fun of God's Not Dead, too. Ooh. But I haven't seen God's Not Dead 2 or even any trailers for it. Yeah. Like, but I know it takes place in a courtroom.
Yeah, right? On Congress.
Yeah, but like in the courtroom, do they make the person say God's Not Dead? Is that like part of the thing?
God's not dead.
Yeah, is that what they want him to say in the courtroom?
I don't know.
Because that's what it made it seem like. But it's like making fun of Christians. Like it makes fun of the cake thing we've talked about on here, where the cake, they refuse to give a cake to the homosexual couple, like the bakers or whatever. So they're like, they make them say God's not gay, like, or God is gay in court. Like that's what the premise of the movie is. And she's like, I'm not going to say that or all this stuff. And so, but it was... It makes fun of like the way Christians have handled the whole gay and lesbian rights thing. Like, yeah, sure. I mean, and so it was just interesting to watch Saturday Night Live's take on that, like what the culture thinks about Christian culture. So not only are they making fun of that, but they're making fun of Christian movies, which we've been known to do
from time to time. I love Christian movies.
there's a few of them that, production value is a little...
Yeah, well, okay, so a lot of times the messages are good behind it,
sure.
But like the way they get there.
Yeah.
There's not like, the acting is usually bad. The acting, that's the thing, like Three Stooges are family friendly, but they're really funny. I want to see, is really? There any comedies? Oh, wait, that Mom's Not Out. Mom's Night Out. Why can't I talk today? Mom's Not Out. on Mom's Night Out, I heard that was pretty funny, and it's like a supposedly sort of Christian. That lady from Everybody's Got Raymond is in there.
Yeah, it came off as very chick flick esque, and so I watched like 15 minutes and I walked out.
Oh, but I heard it was good. I heard that
was
one
it funny.
No.
What do you know?
I've always thought about it. I wondered if I could make a funny
Christian movie.
I don't know if it would necessarily be Christian per se, but I want to make like a comedy that like everybody can enjoy. It's a but good yeah, family it's friendly.
Called Madea.
Watch Madea.
It's called me preaching this week. So
you should come.
Okay. All right. We're gonna move to our goes to culture segment. That pop goes to culture.
All right.
Thanks for clarifying. Yeah, well, no, I tell you
because
pop, can you do the pop?
Because there's gonna be a lot that we're gonna talk about in the segment today. So we're gonna.
But you can't. But
can you do it? Once you pop, you can't stop. Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. James can't do it. Okay. James, box office this week.
Yeah, it was great. Jungle Book.
Jungle Book is number one.
100 million.
Did you see the Jungle Book yet?
I did not see the Jungle Book.
Are you going to see the Jungle Book?
I want to take my daughter with me to see the Jungle Book. Oh, I'm not sure.
Wait, how old is your daughter?
She's 3.
Wait,
you have a kid?
Wait, how old is your littlest one?
He'll turn 2 in
okay, July. Yeah. So 3, the early end of 3 or late end of 3? Because our daughter Sunny just turned 4 and we took
she's
her.
She's about to turn 4 in
a okay, yeah, it should be fine.
Yeah, she'll
see. She, so, I mean, there's big animals fighting.
Yeah.
You see that in the preview, yeah, the tiger and the puma. They fight. Is it a puma? What's the...
It's a Black Panther.
But... James.
Well, it is.
Why are you guys going to bring in color? Are panthers any other color? Black Panthers is that, like, radical group.
Yeah, it is.
The Beyonce is a part of. Remember, they were all at the Super Bowl this year.
She's just misunderstood.
She is.
Can we just say puma more often?
Puma.
Puma. What a fun word.
Puma air soles. Puma. I don't know.
Puma.
Are pumas and jaguars the same thing, or they're different?
Those are different.
No, I believe it's
mountain lions and pumas.
No, I think puma is another name for
not
a big cat.
What?
One of those big cats.
Our pumas. All right,
we're gonna check this out.
Okay, but all right. So
why don't you just Google that?
So James, tell us about.
Let me Google that for you.
Yeah, just Google that for me.
Tell us what was number one in the box office.
I just said.
Yeah, but how much did it make?
Over 100 million. It was second only to in April, only to Furious 7. So far. So
Puma is a mountain lion.
Second biggest
lion.
Opening in the
U.S. Okay, yeah.
See, thank you. I am right every time.
Puma's mountain lions are the same species of cat. Okay, yeah, we were wrong. All right.
Yeah.
Puma air soles. Okay.
Thank you. Those are my shoes.
My neighbor.
So 100 million, almost 300 million worldwide first weekend.
Which is really good.
Pretty good, yeah.
It beat out number 2, The Barbershop, The Next Cut.
I mean, what is that?
How many, is that 3 barbershop movies they've now made?
Like, I don't know, but you have why? To, like, I wonder if people, like, strategically, like, place their movies to come out in, like, certain times, like The Jungle Book here.
Oh, yeah, they have to.
Where, like, their competition is so low. Like, the next one in line is the Barbershop?
Barbershop, The Next Cut. It's not even the original
Wait, is there a...
Wasn't there Barbershop 2?
I don't even know.
More what? Barbier?
Well, it's Barbershop 1.
It's one of the like, somebody in marketing just nailed it for The Jungle Book because they released their film right at the right time when nothing good was out.
Right, because it's...
I just feel like there's sometimes where really good movies come out and they don't do well because...
They come out at a bad time.
Like, they come out right at the same time like a big Marvel movie comes out. Or
yeah.
That's coming out soon.
Like, Alvin and the Chipmunks' Road Chip came out the same week or the week after Star Wars. Road Chip. You're was like, come on, Alvin. You could have come out at a better time. Because if they would have come out this weekend, they would beat Jungle Book. Alvin Chipmunk, Road Chip, spot on.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding. I've never seen it. Yeah. So
I just maybe that doesn't belong in theaters. that's a straight
direct
to DVD.
To DVD.
Kind of film.
Yep. DVD. Who does that anymore?
DVD.
Direct to Blu-ray.
The Boss is still number 3.
Yeah, I dislike that movie.
What is The Boss?
The Boss is Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, it's one of her comedies.
It seems like all her movies are pretty much the same thing.
She seems so angry in all of her movies.
I know. She's just a.
She is angry.
She's an angry lady.
She's an angry elf.
So, yeah.
Call me Elf one more time. All right.
What?
That's from Elf. He's an angry elf.
Oh.
Okay. So, Jungle Book got $100 million.
$100 million. That's pretty good for me.
26 of that was mine.
$26?
$26 million. Yeah, I saw it a lot.
Back.
All right, can we talk about The Jungle Book for a minute?
Okay, sure. So, for the next five to ten minutes,
there'll be spoilers for The Jungle Book.
But
if you saw the cartoon Jungle Book,
it's
very similar. Great. Wait, spoilers are starting now.
Wait, so he hasn't seen it. So
I know, but
do you care? Do you care?
I'll be all right.
He'll handle it.
I'm going to be wrestling a 3-year-old in the theater when I see it, great. Anyways. I'm going to miss a lot.
First of all, great movie.
Yes, fantastic. I think it deserves those high scores.
It's all computer animated, except the kid.
Really?
Yeah, I think
that is great animation.
That's what I heard.
Goodness.
Because they said he was just in a sound studio. They're not in any jungle locations.
Like no water?
No water, no locations, any of that stuff. It's all green screen.
Man, that's amazing right there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when he was running barefoot, I was worried about his feet. I'm like, that actor, he's going to hurt himself. They had to clear those paths.
I did see a few of the behind the scenes, and it did look pretty cool how they were filming that.
Yeah, it's all green screen stuff, right?
It's a lot of green. Well, no, I mean, they built some sets, like... Some of the water he was like boating down or whatever at some point, like
that had to be real. There's no way.
John it's only half real. And
saying the water was green?
No, I'm saying it was like a little canal that they built with green around it.
So he was in the water though.
Yeah, he was in real water
with bear.
Well, there was no real bear. They didn't put a child in a cage with a bear to film the movie.
Well, that's a shame.
Because John Favreau or whatever was on
what.
John Favreau, I don't know how you say his name.
Mumble it. Every
John Favreau. He's the director, but he's also directed Elf and Iron Man 1 and 2. Like, and he does a lot. He didn't do 3, but he does like a lot of stuff. But yeah, he was talking about it on Jimmy Fallon, and it's all like, he said, all the animals,
man.
They use puppets from the Jim Henson's Muppet.
They use puppets?
Like for the kid to interact with, so they had something to interact with when he
that kid was
acted
great.
The scenes. He was.
I was like, man, I wish I could act like him.
Isn't that crazy? Like, there's like he was the only human in that movie.
No, there were other ones.
No, I mean but that he acted against. He didn't act against any other humans.
Yeah, see, that's the future though.
I know.
Gosh,
it's crazy. So, all right. So the worldview though.
Yeah.
So Shere Khan is
the tiger,
the antagonist.
Yes.
I don't even really want to say he's a bad guy, though. He is a bad guy.
And he's just is, right? And there's some things that people have a problem with him. I mean, the wolf pack.
Yeah.
Wolf pack. The wolf pack, they have a problem with him because he kills for sport, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, you kill for sport. Anybody who does that, it's bad. But I mean, you're kind of... I felt sorry for Shere Khan.
Yeah, he was a loner.
Yeah.
He's an outcast in his own jungle.
Yeah, he was king of the jungle.
So, Mowgli, the man cub, was accepted into the pack, and he wasn't. So, do you think Shere Khan has some jealousy issues with Mowgli?
No.
Okay. So, he doesn't like Mowgli, and he's like, I'm going to kill him. So...
Yeah, he wants to kill him.
Because man grows up to be... A killer. Because man grows up and then they come in and...
Man cub grows to be man and man...
Is forbidden. That's what our opening quote was.
Man is forbidden!
Yeah. And so... Which, I mean, the actors that they got to do the parts, so good.
Right?
Dude, Bill Murray as Baloo.
I was like, this does not sound like him. Because it sounded like he was younger.
Yeah, maybe. They edited his voice to make a younger Bill Murray.
Yeah.
And dude, King Louie, Christopher Walken.
Right?
Oh, it was like
huge,
amazing! It was so good.
I would have been scared if I was that kid running from that big monkey.
Yeah.
The one thing they didn't address was how did they get off the mountain?
What?
How'd they get off the mountain?
I don't know. Don't worry about that. Okay.
You're one of those people.
So
you?
Yeah, it's like the whole when do people use the bathroom in movies? You're like, nobody goes to the bathroom here.
Oh, yeah, the movie in 24, nobody ever uses the bathroom in that show.
Yeah,
there's even a scene where this girl like has to make an excuse to leave the room, and she doesn't say she has to go to the bathroom. And then he's like, what are you leaving for? She's like, I just need to check my makeup. Like, just say you gotta go to the bathroom. Like, at least like make some reference to it.
It actually happens.
Only in season 1 does he actually get tired. He's like, he's been up a really long time. Season 1, he like starts to fall asleep. In the other seasons, nope.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Worldview.
Yeah.
So we got Shere Khan. He's a loner. He wants revenge, though.
Right. He wants revenge because, okay, spoilers, we already said, Mowgli's dad was killed by Shere Khan.
But he lost an eye.
He lost an eye in the fight. So, I mean, I'm... Okay. So here's what I think of part of the worldview. So Mowgli, the whole nature versus nurture, right? So yeah. So is he the way he is because that's just man's nature to hunt? Or is he that way because the way he was raised in the jungle? So
he doesn't hunt.
Well, okay, so at the very end,
he makes his toys.
He comes back and he has the fire.
Yeah.
The red flower.
Yeah.
And he brings it back. And in the process, and he didn't realize it, he, like, started a fire in the forest. And he's standing there with the flame, and he's like, all right, I'm not afraid of you, Shere Khan, come fight me. And he's like, oh, look at you. He's like, you've got the red flower. He's like, but
everybody's afraid of you. They're not afraid of me anymore. That's what Shere Khan talks about.
Yeah, he's like, everybody's afraid of you now. And everybody's, like, backing away from him because he started this big fire. And he's like, no, I was, and he realizes, like, I wasn't doing this to get everybody else. I was doing this to get you. But what Shere Khan says is like, see, this is how you are. Yeah. I told you this. Like, hey, everybody, look, I was right. I told you this was going to happen and it's happened. And now he's burning the jungle. He's like, I told you, I was right. You wouldn't listen to me because you had hatred of me, but I was right in the long run. But then, Wes is like, I'm not going to see this.
You said like it's spoiler, but like I don't understand anything you're talking about. I'm just kind of over here in a day. So even if you're listening, like, because you're like, I can't picture like who's
Oh, Shere Khan's the bad guy. The tiger.
Yeah, but like, I get that. But it's like,
you don't know what a tiger looks like?
It looks like a puma, but larger.
Puma ear soles. So then Mowgli puts out the fire and he says,
that was about the dumbest thing you could have done.
Yeah, but he's saying, okay, I'm not like that. Like I'm gonna respect how I've been brought up. I'm gonna respect my nurture.
The wolf way.
The wolf way.
Not the wolf way.
The wolf way.
But so, there's another scene in which it talks about in which he has to embrace the way he is to save an elephant.
Yeah.
So even though it's not the wolf way, by him being who he is, it helps.
Yeah, because they tell him, like, basically his upbringing, they're like, they call him his tricks. And he's inventive with some of the elements in the jungle. Like, he'll make
tools.
He'll make tools and make vines and make little traps and different things. And they're like, you can't do that because that's not what wolves do or whatever.
Yeah.
But then, so he kind of learns to adapt both so he can still be respectful of the wolf way, but then he's his own person. He's a man cub, so he does his stuff. And so yeah, that's like, it's kind of like about being yourself, being like not being conformed to how people say, oh, you got to be this way or that way, but allowing him to be his creative self and all that. And so I thought it was really cool.
In the end, he uses his ways.
He did. That's how he escaped Shere Khan. So I would recommend this movie. For real little ones, if they get scared easily, then probably not, because there's a couple fight scenes where these big animals are fighting. But
yep.
My 5-year-old and 4-year-old, they handle it. Yeah, they did. Well, there's a part where the wolves howl, and Sunny's my 4-year-old. She just turned 4 yesterday.
Great.
Yeah, and she's howling in the theater. She's like, oh.
Great.
And then I don't know if Quincy did it. On the way home, Quincy howled, but I don't know if she did in the theater. But it's fun watching movies with them, because as soon as the movie gets done, when the credits go, Sunny's like, I'm going down front, and she runs down the front of the theater and dances. She loves like dancing in front of the, because there's like an open area in the front of the screen. She just goes down and dances.
Everybody, look at me!
How did that start?
I think there's one movie we watched that had like good music, and so Quincy was down there dancing, and so Sunny went and joined her. Because you're standing there like getting them down, like, because Sunny's slow walking, and so Quincy's like goes down and just dances, and so they all dance. So now Quincy and Sunny, as soon as the movie's over, Sunny's like, I'm going dancing.
Wow.
That's like her favorite part of the movie. She can't wait for it to get done.
So she can dance.
Going dancing.
Yeah. All right, so while everything on screen looks real, Mowgli is actually the only live action character in the film, while the rest, the result of a lot of digital magic. With more than 70 creatures and a set that includes earth, fire, water, and 100 million different leaves, it took more than 800 graphic artists more than a year to create.
So it took over a year.
800 graphic artists.
But this kid is literally the only actor in the movie.
Yeah, pretty much. There's
one scene with his dad.
And there's another scene where people are around a fire.
So what's this kid's cut of the film?
He gets to be famous.
Right? Because he's like the only... Okay, so the film grosses like...
$100 million?
Right.
Opening weekend?
And he's the only one in it.
Well, you got the voice actors.
Whatever, their voice. I mean, he's the only actor. He's the only one, like, doing action shots.
Yeah. Like, no, he did it. This is his first movie.
Maybe he's really making bank on this.
Maybe. Maybe he's getting half of that. Half of $100 million.
Isn't that crazy? Like, a child can make more money in a lifetime before he turns, you know.
On one movie. First movie. If that was me, I'd retire. Mike, I'm 10. I'm done.
He doesn't have to do anything.
He's going
to
go buy Pop Rocks and those Lick-A-Made dipsticks or whatever those are called. What are those?
Lick-A-Made.
What are those? What are they called? Fun Dip. That's what I'm looking for. But the brand is Lick-A-Made.
What is he talking about?
L-I-K-A-dash.
I'm pretty sure you're making this up. Look, I'm just pointing out, like,
Lick-A-Made.
What is that? I wonder what that must be like to, like, just be done with life by the age of 13.
Sounds
like
terrible.
A professional life.
I mean,
like,
you gave up at 13, so
you're right. I mean, take a look at me now. I mean, yeah.
So yeah, Fun Dip was originally called Lick-A-Made. Lick-A-Made.
Huh. Yeah, that's why nobody bought it.
Yeah, now it's called Fun Dip.
Yeah.
So that's is this a segment called Useless Knowledge that we'll never need?
This segment is called Candy Time. Okay. Wes has to leave because he has important things to do, apparently.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should we pause it?
No.
Oh, we're keep going. This is live. We can't stop.
Get out of here. Okay.
I'm just going to leave. You can hear me rustling and, like, putting my backpack on and stuff. And I'm
like, yeah. So, James.
Out of here.
See you later.
So, you talked about. So, now Disney's going to be making more remakes.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is another example. When you make money off of something.
Hey, see you later, Wes. Thanks for joining us today.
Bye. Should I?
Yeah, just get out.
Signing off.
All right, get out of here. All right.
But yeah, come on.
All right. Now he's gone. Good.
Woo! We finally have him on the show. I feel good about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so with all these movies, I mean, we've seen remakes, like the Cinderella one.
Cinderella remake.
Okay. We saw Maleficent wasn't a remake.
Per se, yeah.
But it was a spin-off of it, and then even Snow White, I don't know, but that was kind of weird. That wasn't Disney, I don't think. Never mind.
The Huntsman.
Sorry, but it was a takeoff.
Snow White and the Huntsman. But
I guess these stories don't necessarily belong to Disney.
Right.
That's right. I forget about that.
Yeah, because what's that show? Once Upon a Time, are all these characters?
Yeah.
You're like, these are just stuff that Disney takes and makes it really cool.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, you mentioned earlier. I mean, with you making this much money, of course, you're like, okay. I can take something and just remake it, bring back, people are going to love it because it's old and, you know, brings back those memories and we have the technology. So you said the next one they're making is Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, with Emma Watson as Belle.
I'm pretty excited about that.
Beauty and the Beast was great.
As long as they have the songs, of which I'm sure they will.
See, that's the thing about, Cinderella had some of the songs.
The older ones. I mean, this one had two.
This one had two songs. Well, then at the end, they did the Trust in Me song with Scarlett Johansson singing it. It was in the credits. Trust in Me.
I don't know that song.
Just in Me. Yeah, it's from the original. But And so, yeah, but I did like that aspect that they brought it. Because I didn't know that they were going to do... Because you're like, oh, come on, it's Baloo. He's got to sing the Bare Necessities. And he did.
He starts humming it. You're like, oh, it's coming. Because I didn't think they were going to have any songs.
I didn't know either. But
I was like, oh, that's a nice surprise. Oh, it's good.
But see, but that one fit in kind of with the story where I felt like King Louis' song didn't really that much. Right? So King Louis did the...
Yeah, it was all right.
It was a good song, but like, it didn't seem to... Whereas the Baloo was like, we're hanging out, having fun. And he like started kind of humming that song and he sang a little bit of it. And then Mo was like, what is that? He's like, it's a song. He's like, I don't know what a song is. I said, how do you know I don't know what a song is?
I never think about that, do you?
Yeah, you know what singing is. So then he starts singing it, and he's like, oh, I like this song. Yeah. So they're singing it together.
So which movie should they remake next?
So Beauty and the Beast is coming up. Dude, if they can make a Lion King like this.
Huh.
I loved Lion King.
Yeah, but it's got no people in it.
Yeah, but they did the live action, like, with all like the animals, like the animated ones. Yeah. That might be even harder, though, because this one was... It took 800 animators a year to make with all the animal stuff.
Why would it take much more?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Lion King was one of my favorites. I could go for no, they can't do it. Emperor's New Groove. That's one of my favorite Disney movies.
That would be tough with real people.
Yeah,
because you got all the cool moves.
Yeah,
it'd be
too hard to make.
It'd either be too goofy, because this one was very realistic.
Yeah,
it was good. It was good. Oh man, let's see. What are some other ones? Aladdin's good.
Aladdin. I don't know. That's the thing. Like, if you take a cartoon.
Well, Cinderella.
But there's certain things in the cartoon that you can do. Whereas Aladdin, like the genie, you're like, okay. But if they made a live action genie,
I don't know.
I'd feel like it'd be like Shaquille O'Neal's Shazam. I'm like, oh man, why are you gonna make Shazam again? I'm Shaq. I like Shazam.
Little Mermaid, Pocahontas.
Oh wait, are they doing a Little Mermaid one? Little Mermaid one would be cool.
Pocahontas?
No, I don't like Pocahontas that much.
What?
I've only seen it once. It's been a really long time.
Just around the riverbend. Let's see what else we got. Of the wind. Frozen?
It's too soon to do a live action of that one. Man, I know there's one I'm missing. Oh, I was thinking about this. The Rescuers Down Under. I like the one in Australia. I really liked that one.
Yeah, that one's good.
That
one doesn't have any songs.
Yeah,
not really.
So you don't have to have songs.
It's Disney, of course it does.
Okay, I know I'm like not thinking of one. But I'm like,
it's
oh,
huge. Come on, man.
Really good. I don't know.
Disney movies.
Let's see.
101 Dalmatians.
They did that.
Yeah, I know they did.
I did like that, the live action of that one. But did that considered? Was that considered in this series of them remaking them? Was that the start of it?
No, I don't think that counts. One. Too close.
Yeah. I don't know. Write us in at podcastviewfinder@gmail.com and tell us what Disney movie you'd like to see as a live action movie.
Remake, yeah.
Because we want to know. That would be fun. So I think Lion King would probably be my number one right Lion now King. Until I could think of something. Did you not like The Lion King?
No, it's great.
Dude, man, that's so good.
Hercules.
I didn't see that one.
What?
I didn't see Hercules.
Leave.
Oh, wait, what about some Pixar movies? I don't know.
Live action?
Yeah, that'd be too hard. Because I mean, they're too good.
Yeah, they are.
I was thinking The Incredibles. We are like, it's just the Avengers.
Hey, they can do it.
The Incredibles did it better. So,
oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that one. So, all right. Number one on the charts this week.
The same one as last week.
Work. Work.
And I don't understand the rest.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what somebody said their life is like.
It's like
work, and then I don't know what's going on the rest of the time. That's a good point.
Yeah, that's all right.
But Gwen Stefani came out with an album called This Is What the Truth Feels Like. Right? Ooh. And so we talk about truth on here because that's worldview. Like you say truth is truth.
Yeah.
Right? Truth doesn't change.
Nope.
But we've talked about feelings.
Yeah.
And how that affects our view of what truth is.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
Our perception.
Our perception of truth. It doesn't affect what truth is. Yeah. But it affects our perception of what truth is. And so, so she got divorced or just had a bad breakup and then started dating her co-star on
The Voice.
This is great, yeah, because Blake Shelton, he was married to somebody, so I guess he got divorced, and then him and Gwen Stefani started dating.
It's love.
I know. And so, but so she's talking about truth.
Yeah.
But she's saying this is what, like, it must feel like. So on the Plugged In interview, they were talking about, so Stefani insists that she can feel the truth of her latest relationship, and she desperately wants to believe it will be the real deal this time around. But feelings are flawed barometers of solid substance such as truth, both for pop stars like Gwen Stefani and for all the rest of us who internalize the familiar but still problematic philosophy she espouses. If it feels so right, it can't be wrong, she gushes. And while one would hope that such a seasoned artist would have been through enough to recognize the peril of capitulating to the old lie, perhaps hope is not always the best strategy. So, I mean, yes, we're supposed to have hope, but if her hope is in things that can change.
Like our hope, I would say my Christian hope is a hope based on reality. Look, forgot their phone.
Uh-oh, Wes forgot his phone. We're going to make some calls on it.
So, but yeah, I mean, I'm not hoping it's something. It's not like a wishful thinking.
Right.
Right? It's not a, well, I hope it goes this way.
I hope this relationship works out.
Yeah, yeah, it's based off of, I've seen it in reality. I know it's something to trust. And so, very important. I mean, why didn't the other relationship work? There could have been many, multiple things. Obviously, both people have to be in it 100%. I taught that today. I said, no 50-50. It has to be 100-100. It has to add up to 200.
Yeah, because in relationships, yeah, because people are like, oh, you know, we'll compromise. We'll do what you want half the time and do what I want half the time. It doesn't work that way.
No.
You do. Your relationships have to be 100%. Like, you have 200%. To be all in. It has to be 200%. No, you give 100%, I give 100%.
Yeah.
And it has to be.
Because then you're always like, well, I'm only going this far for you. And you start limiting it. And once you start limiting your relationship, I mean, it starts, the downhill trend is there. Because it's like, well, I'm going to do even less. And each person slowly backs up until it's done. It's like, well, how did we get here? How did we get so far apart?
Right.
And so, Gwen, going off of her feelings, probably not the best. Because feelings come from something, right?
Yeah.
So if I invest in something, then those feelings can follow.
So she says on the song Rare, I am broken, I am insecure, complicated, oh yeah, that's for sure. Feel worthless, I've been hurt so bad, I get nervous that you won't love me back. So yeah, what you're saying, like her feelings come from that place of insecurity of,
yeah,
okay, I invested all this stuff into this past relationship, thought it was good, thought it was going somewhere, and then it falls apart. That's what she says, this is what the truth feels like. The truth is, I'm broken up, I'm alone, I don't know what's happening in my life,
yeah,
and so it hurts. Yep. So that's the truth. But then she's like, well, but now this feels right. Her truth now has changed, right? Like, oh, I feel good about this relationship.
Yeah.
So therefore, it must be true because this is a good relationship. Like, oh, wait, but the last relationship, you would have said at points are good.
Yeah.
And there's probably still things about the relationship that you miss that you thought, okay.
I mean, she's going to be comparing and contrasting and aiming, maybe either aiming for, because there's going to be stuff. I mean, that happens with anybody. If they've broken up, they look for similarities to the good things in that relationship. And they're like, you're not doing the thing that the other person did in the other relationship. And that causes problems because it's not a spoken thing and people don't understand.
Right. And so, I just thought it was interesting that she's basically saying, like, truth is what you feel.
Yeah.
Like, your truth is going to change based on your feelings. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Right? And if it's anchored on that, he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am.
Which is good.
Yahweh. Yeah.
Don't let's forget about that. We're in the state of being, or becoming, sorry.
Yeah.
God is in the state of being. He is.
Yeah, he...
Which is mind-blowing, because he doesn't have to change. He's already perfect.
And I'm going to put truth in quotes, but our truth does change.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because the more we find out about the real truth, then it's like, oh, then our worldview shapes to that.
And yeah.
So your worldview, it's constantly changing. My worldview from a year ago when we started this podcast is different than it is today, like, because I learned more stuff about who God is and what that means for my life. And so, yeah, it's just interesting that she's finally voicing what a lot of people feel. The truth is based on feelings, where it's not. Like, it's not based on your feelings. And that's where, like, a lot of arguments about people, like, well, when you say this, it makes me feel this way, so I'm going to be mad at you for that. So you can't voice your opinion, James, because that makes me feel bad either about my lifestyle or it makes me feel like you're attacking me. And so then my new truth becomes you're a bad person because you don't agree
with me. Because of my effect on your feeling, which is not fair. Because, I mean, nowadays I can't say something offensive to you because I shouldn't make you feel offended. You have a right not to be offended, but that's not true. Where does it say that in any law?
Oh, all over the place.
Right? Man-made laws.
Yeah. Man cub. So, I haven't listened to her album, so I don't know if it's good or not. But I just thought that was an interesting thing where she's like, hey, this is what truth feels like. So, all right, we're going to talk about smartphone addictions. So we talked about that on the show before, just about our use of smartphones. James is looking at his phone right now. Because you're getting the notes out. You're reading the notes.
Yeah, I mean, I would have printed it off.
Okay, so it says smartphone is not an addiction officially yet, right?
Yeah, and how would you diagnose, like, I think there's things on your smartphone. And maybe it's the smart, it's all of the possibilities. Right. Like, you just played a game just a second ago. I saw you.
A what?
I saw that.
Okay, because every 3 hours I get
you're controlled. Do you feel like you have to do it then?
I gotta do my spins.
You're like, I gotta make the most of it.
I know. Because it's every 3 hours. If it's every 3 hours and I go every 4 hours, and that's a whole hour I miss.
You've wasted and you're falling behind.
To get my money on my fake slot machine game. Daddy needs his medicine. So, which gambling disorder. So, yeah, so currently the only behavioral addiction recognized by the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders is gambling. So, food disorders, sex, internet, gaming, and pornography are considered by many to be addictive behaviors or disorders, but gambling is the only one that they would classify as an actual disorder. Isn't that weird?
That is weird. I feel like they needed to change that. Because there's so many. You could be addicted to anything nowadays.
She also adds, this is lady writing this article, clearly, this is from centeronaddiction.org, clearly, this lady's name? Because Alma Hidalgo. Clearly the term addiction can be overapplied and misused. However, when certain repetitive behaviors interfere with one's well-being and daily adaptive functioning, and the behavior still continues despite these detrimental effects, the concept of addiction becomes relevant to consider.
Yeah. So if that's affecting the way I live.
Yeah. And this is, I struggle with this because there's a game I play called Hearthstone. And that game's fantastic. And there's new cards coming out this week. It's like the World of Warcraft trading card game. And I play it a lot. Like, it's one of those things I'm like, I get home, I just play it. Yeah, I also like interact with my family, but like it's playing on the side.
Like, do you look forward to that more than your family?
I look forward to that more than anything.
Last summer I had a problem.
Oh yeah,
that one game, Fallout Shelter.
Yeah, Fallout Shelter.
Man, I was like, I can't. I gotta do this.
Because that was another. So that's what those games.
On a mission trip. I was like, forget doing that.
Yeah, and there's certain games like the slot machine game I play, and in Fallout Shelter, there's other games that like every certain
time based. Yeah.
So like after a certain amount of time, you're like, oh, I can log in and get my rewards.
I've got to do it.
And then I'll log out real quick. Yeah, but when you log into Fallout Shelter, you're like, your people are hurting
you. But it's changed your normal behavior. It's changed your routines. You're like, okay, now I've placed this into my routine.
Yeah.
And so it does. It affects like, okay, I've got to stop work for a second. So if I'm working on something, every 7 minutes I have to stop.
See, the YouVersion app should do something like that. Like, hey, every 3 hours you read a Bible verse and you get like points.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to beat James and get more Bible points than him, because
I mean, we are addicted to achievements. It makes us feel better. Like, think about the followers on Instagram.
Yeah,
I feel better because of that.
The YouVersion app they do have achievements and stuff. There's like little things.
It's not good enough.
Yeah, they need to. But okay, so it's funny that you mentioned the
Instagram
followers, because Taylor Swift.
Yeah, T-Swifty.
She was number one on Instagram.
What?
She got knocked out this week.
What? I'm done.
Selena Gomez? Gomez.
I don't understand that. What is wrong with you, America?
I don't know, but she passed Taylor Swift. Gomez now boasts 69.5 million followers.
It's bigger than
some countries.
I thought
I had 70 million. But maybe,
I guess not. They're all fake. They don't count. The 70 million that I bought.
So she beat Taylor Swift by 200,000 fans. So not a whole lot. T-Swifty, hey, if you don't follow Taylor Swift on Instagram.
I don't.
I would say don't do
it. I might have to go do it.
Okay, so I've seen her profile. She posts some
provocative stuff.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift. Forget you, Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Number three, Kim Kardashian.
Oh, Justin Bieber, where are you?
I know, right?
I was thinking Kanye West. His wife gets it?
Beyonce?
What? Oh, you said Beyonce.
No, wait.
Kim Kardashian.
Oh, yeah, Kanye West. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
know. Beyonce.
Sorry. I don't know why Beyonce's on there. I thought she'd be.
I thought Kim Kardashian was.
I thought Oprah was always number one. Yeah, you're right.
Jesus is number
Beyonce one. Beyonce Z. She's married to Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Okay. So, YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
This is amongst some of our age demographic that listens to the show. Between ages 13 and 24, They reported watching 12.1 hours of video content online per week via YouTube and social media sources such as Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Vine, Hulu, Amazon Prime, and Twitter. So 12.1 hours. They're also watching an additional. So, right? That's 12.1 plus 8.8. So that's almost 21 hours.
21 hours a week.
Of video content via subscription services such as Netflix. As for old school television time logged, it clocks in at just 8.2 hours weekly.
So wait, what does that mean per day? 3 hours a day.
Right? 7 times 3 is 21? Yeah.
3 hours.
So, 3 hours a day. Okay.
And this is just more, I mean, well, I would love to see, if is it just all entertainment? Because I could be like, well, I do a lot of learning through video.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say the majority is probably entertainment.
Yeah, just to be consumed, entertained.
Yeah, because I'll get on Facebook. And I'll be like scrolling through. I'll get notifications. I'll see like who's
in videos.
Who's commenting? Yeah, commenting on my stuff. And I'll be flipping through. It's like, oh,
this video.
Watch this video of a kitten getting scared by a cucumber. I'm like, what? That's not even. But they start playing, right?
Yeah.
And as soon as that video is over, it opens up a bunch more videos like with the, kind of the same theme. So it's like cats falling off the roof. And you're like, oh, this is fun. Cats in a blender. Like it's stuff like that. It's
cats in a blender.
I'm kidding. But there's all this stuff that you're like, oh, kittens. Kitten.
Oh, little kitty cat.
Watch this woman threaten a kitten for $20. Like, I gotta watch this video. You give me my kitten or I'm. That was Tracy Morgan.
Yep, that's good.
This kitten is my biological father. So I do a terrible Tracy Morgan.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But man, so yeah, so I get sucked in. I told you, like I've said this on the show before, like the Facebook vortex, because I'm like, because this happened yesterday. I'm like, what am I doing?
Here
I'm
am, just working along. Then all of a sudden,
I know. So I can't even get on Facebook without getting sucked in the vortex.
It's a black hole, my friend.
So, but number one Detector amongst me. Teens,
suck me right in.
Number one. Teen social media,
Snapchat.
Yeah,
it's
by 1%.
So Snapchat,
it's on USA Today.
It's getting more useful. So Mackenzie, my fiance, we went to a concert, and I guess they would the crew with the concert, they'd post videos, like little short videos of different like setup or here's the band over here of Snapchat, and so you're like, oh, well, that's kind of cool. You can like sort of follow along.
Yeah, so
I'm not on Snapchat.
I haven't gone on Snapchat unless it like changes drastically, which I don't know that it's going to. Because I signed up for an account one time and I got on there. And I was like, oh, these are like videos and pictures that are only up there for a few seconds and then they're gone.
Yeah,
and I'm like, no way. Because with our line of work in youth ministry, if somebody claims that we sent something over Snapchat, or they like they said they sent something to us. Or they could send something to us. And I go, what? Like, why are you sending that? And they're like, look what I sent to Pastor Chris or Pastor James. Like, no, I didn't know. I didn't know what it was. Like, so, yeah, that's why. Hey, Anonymous Chipmunk is now following us on Google.
Hey.
On our Google Doc.
Hey, Anonymous. Yeah,
so.
What?
So that's what, like, yeah, so Snapchat, I'm, like, very weary of. And I know, like, that's where students a lot of times connect and stuff on there. But I'm like, okay. I'll connect in a different way. I'm on Instagram and Facebook.
Twitter's fallen.
You think Twitter is?
It is fallen a bit. Some people, younger people, are like, what's Twitter for?
All right. So a poll of 6,500 teens earlier this spring found that 28% preferred Snapchat, besting Instagram by 27%. Oh yeah, by 1%. Yeah. So Instagram was 27%. Twitter is 18%. Facebook 17%. I found that interesting. That 1% between Facebook and Twitter amongst the teens.
Yeah. Obviously, they're very picture-driven.
Yeah.
And tidbits of content.
Visual,
but little bits of content. Because if you notice, both of those are little bits of content. Twitter doesn't have enough for you. It's like just a lot of words.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some stuff in there, but it's the older gen.
Right.
And Facebook is obviously everybody's on it. But, yeah.
Yeah, so Facebook, they put out... There was a survey that was done that people aren't posting as much personal stuff to Facebook. So they're trying to do things to make you post.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of, I don't know, just videos.
Yeah, right. Well, okay, it has 1.6 billion users posting to it. And
5 now, because I just quit.
What? You're 1 billion, you're 0.5 billion users?
Yeah.
0.1 billion user? I don't think so.
Got a lot of fake accounts.
So, Personal posting dropped 21% in the last year. This is the tech news website, The Information. It's a problem because Facebook insiders have reportedly dubbed content collapse and one that the social media behemoth is attempting to rectify through ongoing reminders and design features intended to prompt users to post more personal info.
Well, I think they have a... They're working on bots, right?
What?
Bots. So, AI is coming along, yeah. Right? And so it's more personalized. Like, we have Alexa. Hey, Alexa. How's it going?
I'm good. I hope you're doing well, too.
Yeah. Alexa is our...
Our AI. Alexa... Oh, sorry. She's not listening. Alexa, are you an AI?
Sorry, I didn't understand the question.
Okay, so obviously not very smart.
She's getting there.
Watch this, though. Alexa, what's 2 plus 2?
The sum of 2, and 2 is 4.
Oh, I learned this one this week. Alexa, tell me a haiku.
If I had one wish, I would be able to eat a wedge of strong cheese.
Ah. So, yeah, Dan Sullivan, who let us borrow Alexa. Who is Dan Sullivan?
I'm not sure what you meant by that question.
You hear that, Dan? You give this to her for a few weeks and she doesn't even remember you. So,
Alexa, how big is the universe?
The universe. Depth, 93 billion light years. Mass, 2 septendecillion 200 sextillion pounds. Width, 93 billion light years.
Man, the universe needs to lose some weight.
Wow! Alexa, what's the meaning of life?
42.
Wow! Brilliant!
Oh, all right, man, with that...
That was so good!
I never knew.
Do you know what that's from?
Yeah. Oh, man. The Hitchhiker's Guide.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
So you have all of this AI, and so one of the things... The other day, Trevor, who makes our music...
Yeah, check him out at Like Lions.
He was saying, hey, Facebook said hi to me today. And like, on his app.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's like, hey, Trevor, how are you?
Well, like on Friend Day, I posted like, hey, share your friend collage. And they made a collage of all my pictures. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to share that. It's cool.
So in the future, with these things, if Facebook is more interactive with me, if it's like, hey, how's your day?
Oh.
I mean, because we're talking about in the future, if computer programs are able to respond more human-like, am I going to have more conversations with it?
Yeah.
Because that's what I want with, like, Siri. That's kind of what people try to do with this thing over here that we have.
Yeah, so the Amazon Echo. Yeah.
Yep, that. And with Cortana, all those things. Actually, Microsoft's working on bots for everything. So it's like, hey, you got an app? We're going to work on a bot so that you can run your app. It can be in your app. They're like, okay, that's the future. AI. But so I think they're going to use that to get users to be more interactive.
Yeah, because a lot of the posts now on Facebook are more, like, the political stuff, obviously, because all that stuff's going on. But a lot of it's, like, funny videos and stuff, and it's not necessarily, like, here's what I'm doing today, or I post our podcast on there, and I'm like, I don't say much personal stuff anymore on Facebook.
Facebook wants to, I mean, they're working on a personal assistant, saying, hey, here it is. And which makes sense. I mean, they've got the resources. They've got so much information about us. You have no idea. They know what you like. They know more about you than you do.
Yeah. So wait, what would the personal assistant do? It would...
Just anything. I mean, all things with Facebook. Hey, how's it going? Do you want to post an update and let the world know? Or a picture or stuff like that?
Because I'll be at the donut bank or some restaurant and I'll open up my Facebook and it says, hey, see what your friends are saying about this place.
Yeah. And remember the last time you were here?
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't. Do you?
Yeah. They'll be like, hey, check out this picture a long time ago.
What?
But with that, I think, that's why Facebook is more powerful than Snapchat or Twitter, because it's got the most data and it has Instagram.
Yeah, and they do things to make you post more personal stuff, so they can make it even more personal.
And then they own a VR. I mean, Oculus Rift, that's the company that makes the VR. It's one of the big ones that's on the forefront. So, I mean, Facebook is there. They're on the cutting edge of all these new technologies that are coming to the future.
Because one of the things I heard about, the virtual reality stuff is that they're going to be able to... Because you've seen those 3D movies and stuff they do.
Yeah, 360 movies.
360 movies. So there's rumors that the Oculus Rift, the VR headset, is going to, like, you can put it on and, like, So your sister lives in California.
Yeah.
And so if her kid has a birthday party, like, oh, I can't make it to California, but you could put on the VR headset and she could have one of those 360-degree cameras in the middle of the table and you can be there, like, watching and be a part of the party even though you're not there.
And then in the future, if we all have them, we can all be in separate places but act like we're in the same room.
Okay. And that was one of the, because I listened to another podcast Beyond.
Yeah.
And it's a PlayStation podcast. I'm a nerd. But this girl was talking about, like, she's from Australia and moved to California to be part of IGN staff. And she was talking about, like, this game, like, where they're One Night Ultimate Werewolf. It's kind of like that game. But they're, like, sitting around a campfire. And she's like, I'm in this virtual reality space, but with all these people. And we're playing this game together. Yeah. And she's like, but we can talk like normal. Like, we can have normal conversations. And she's like, I would use virtual reality for that. Because I can, like, hang out with my family and friends in Australia.
Yeah.
And we can all be in different places, but yet we're still in the same shared space.
Like a holodeck room. You're going to have that, but just put on the... You'll have a dedicated room to where you could put on these goggles and walk around and interact.
Like that place in the X-Files basement. Where he gets in that like machine and, like,
I have
goes
no
over,
idea
like, goes
what you're
through,
talking about.
Through all this stuff. That big, like, dome thing that Professor X gets on.
So, oh.
Xavier.
X-Men. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking X-Files.
Yeah. No.
I was
you're
like,
dumb.
Ah.
So, okay.
You're dumb.
But good thought. So let us know. Send us an email at podcastviewfinder@gmail.com and tell us what live action Disney movie you want to see. Movie. I can't, like, talk. What Disney movie do you want to see today?
Yeah.
And then I was going to ask for something else. Oh, yeah. Do you feel like you're addicted to your smartphone? I feel like I mean.
Yeah.
It's hard. Like, there's days where I'm like, okay, I should just go plug this in and not
put
play
it down. Just
yeah,
put it
I know. And I need to.
I was teaching today and they, well, actually, what about, we talked about this, I think, what Chick-fil-A's doing.
What are they doing?
They have a little box that's to put all your phones in. So it's like, hey, if you do this, if you take the family challenge, you come in, put all your phones in the box, close it up, not worry about it, I think you get something. Like maybe
you
ice cream.
Yeah, free ice cream.
Yeah, so hey, we'll give you ice cream. Look at that. That's awesome. Promoting talking, real life talking.
But that's the thing. Like at dinner time, I won't use my phone. So every, like, we eat dinner as a family almost every night.
You're not the norm.
I know, but I'm saying I
Most
do that.
Most people don't even...
Because I just said I was addicted to my phone. I just want people to know that at dinner time, if my game of Hearthstone's done, then I don't use...
But he's still playing the slots!
I'm playing for three
hours! 3 hours now! Hold that thought.
But that's the thing. I don't play it every 3 hours. I just get on, get my money, and then wait till the next
but
3 hours.
But still, you've set a routine.
I know, James.
I mean, you wake up in the middle of the night to do it. You're like, uh-oh, it's 3 o'clock.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I do. I wake up at night. I'm like, oh,
might as well.
I gotta do my spins real quick, and then I like fall asleep, and then I'm like, oh man. Then my alarm doesn't go off because my phone wasn't on the right setting. All right, hey, thanks for tuning in to another exciting episode of Podcast Viewfinder, episode 55,
or
if it's backwards, it's the palindrome episode. So thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Alexa, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Alexa, say magic. She never listens to me.
Man. Right.
Alexa, say magic. Why won't she say magic? All right.
She's hey. Like, done.
Thank you, guys.
I want that to be whenever I don't want to listen to you.
You just make that noise. I get so angry. All right. We'll see you next time. Magic.
I'm James.
And I'm Chris. we'll see you next time.
Magic.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's Podcast Viewfinder. Just because we talk about a game, movie, book, show, or celebrity does not mean we endorse them or the product. So we want you to use discernment about what you take in. So look it up before you consume, and see you next time. Podcast Viewfinder.